going forever. Moments go, time runs out. And then it hits you with the pain. Things are great on the way out. Nobody's with you when you're on the way down. You got what you wish for. Is that what you
Welcome back to the Gods to Ghosts Volleyball Podcast with your host, Scott Bemke, for part 8 of our interview with Robert Stanley, Butch May. Before we get started, I want to provide a brief reminder that all of our podcasts are available on all the major podcast directories, as well as on our website, which is godstoghosts.com. That's GODSTOGHOSTS.com. Let's pick up things here for part 8 with Butch.
All right, Butch. We've covered a handful of the men's players and also Eileen Clancy, your mixed partner. I think tonight would be a good night to pay attention to and give credit to all the amazing women's players that competed on the beach back in the day. So we've got Connie Keller, Edie Conrad, Jeanette Luttrell, Patty Steer, and Jean Brunicardi. So you take it from there, 4F. Who you want to talk about first, and let's get rolling.
Okay, when I first came to Southern California, there's a guy up in Northern California. I forgot his name. And, the Beach Boys had a song, Two Girls for Every Boy. And it wasn't just for surfers. It was for the golden-bodied young men that played volleyball on the beach.
Yeah, no wonder that's Bill Blowfish and Wally's favorite band. That makes a lot of sense now. I'm going to have to talk to his wife, Kathy, about this.
You know, it's just the mecca for good players was really around Sereno and State Beach. Now, State Beach had Jeanette Luttrell, that was Selznick's girlfriend, and Dave Heiser, who was the principal of John Adams, was a good mix player. He played in at Serrano, but at State Beach, you had had an older woman that was really more around, from what I met. Okay, mm-hmm. She was around Muscle Beach, and her husband Ev Keller. The reason why I like Ev, they call him the Fox, and he was left hand, right hand, good control when I'm passing. But he understood the court. He played handball, just like Bernie and Manny Sines and a lot of the Hollywood YMCA men or West Side Jewish Community Center men did. They played handball, so they were coordinated left and right. But what made it kind of interesting was Connie was about 6'2 and a half, you know, maybe closer to 6'3. And she kept saying, honey, we're going to go out there and we're going to deliver. Well, there's a guy that played at Muscle Beach. His name was Dave Bateman. And he was a big la-di-da at Muscle Beach. And I think the day Connie and I beat him, I didn't see Dave for a while. But Dave was a good, legitimate player. There are a lot of good players.
Did you put him in the morning?
Did we put him where?
Put him in the morning. He couldn't show up for a while.
No, it's just...
Getting beat by 4F, the bull rider?
Well, Connie kept telling me, honey, you've got to have this and that. She kept... every time we took a timeout, she would call timeouts before I could... give me these lifesavers, mint lifesavers. So, holy crap, I said, I got a sugar high. My God. Anyway, there was a few girls. We didn't wander too much away from our area. In other words, Santa Monica. and that includes State Beach, Sereno, and the
Sewer of Beach Volleyball, Muscle Beach.
And Muscle Beach. No, it's just we didn't know what South Bay had or San Diego, but there were good players out there. They were very good players, not okay players. They were good players, but the bulk of the good players were in Sereno or State Beach. Now, when it came to mixed, Sereno had Patty Steer, her husband Don Steer, was a football coach at Santa Monica High School, and Patty was just an absolute dog. She just good shape, and, very competitive. One of the nemesis that she had at Sereno Beach was Edie Conrad. Now, Edie's husband played, he was a fireman. But Edie Conrad was just a good player. Of course, when it comes to Bush, any girl that could bump the ball up near the net and dig a ball and serve the ball in, I thought was a good player. Things would change later on. But Edie was very competitive. She played, I think, with the likes of O'Hara. Some of the other good players. They had a jumper at Sereno Beach. His name was Kenny LeDuc. Kenny LeDuc was a legitimate. He could get out of the sand about 36 to 40 inches out of the sand. He was genuine, you know. And Ernie and I would go down there, ooh and ah. But we kind of stuck to our own beach. Ernie played next year. Ernie was a good mix player. There's a girl that he was playing with. Her name was Pam Colbert, the most beautiful girl probably in volleyball at that time.
Was she related to Pete Colbert in any way, shape, or form?
I don't know. I don't know if it was an ex-wife, but she was blue-eyed, really good. Ron Snyder, who married
Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger. He was a good player.
And didn't he play with Rundle in that back in the day? I think in like a he was playing with Rundle when Ruffaro was playing with Henry Bergman, and then they decided to play together back in the day when it was an A and double A or something like that. I think.
Yeah, well, there was. I remember going to a tournament. It was at State Beach, and. You know, this is where I kind of mentioned Mike and Patty Bright played, and I said, "Wow, what a map for divorce!" You know, and you could see Mike just gnashing his teeth without saying anything. But Sylvia would come down and did it, park his car, and he and Jeanette played, and you know, Steno played with Gene, and you had. Edie Conrad and Patty Steer didn't come to State Beach. They stayed at their own beach for that tournament. But there were young girls there. You know, there's a gal who's dead now. Her name was Gail O'Rourke. She played for the Shamrocks, the same team that Kathy Gregory had played with. But you had... Kathy might have been in that tournament, either with her brother or with Alicia Smith. And I played with Connie, and you know, we're busting our butts. Von Hagen tried playing. Did not enjoy it. Larry Rundle played with Mary Jo Pepler. Mary Jo Pepler was one of the best one of the best indoor players at that time.
Sure.
And they didn't do well because... It got Larry frustrated. You know, one of the things that mixed players have to do is if the girl has an opportunity to put the first ball up or near the net, you do that so the guy can put the ball away. And Mary Jo Pepler wanted to show Larry that she could put the ball down. Well, that didn't work out that way.
Rags wasn't a fan of that.
No, Rags wasn't happy at the end of that tournament. And, but you had, who else? Jack Jensen. Jack Jensen was a good player. I think, we just got through talking to her. Nancy was playing. And her dad was a good mixed player.
Nancy Cohen and Alty?
Yeah, Alty. They might have played together at that one. I don't remember the combinations. I remember the combinations that didn't work. And
like an Edsel.
Selznick had his topspin serve. He could put the ball anywhere. In between the timeouts or the side changes, John Ed was always making herself up. I mean, she was just an absolute stunning woman. Oh, there were other women there, you know. But I don't remember the combinations. I just remember the names. And at the end of that tournament, somebody had whispered in my ear at State Beach, "I think you need somebody younger."
like a teenager.
I can't tell you where that came from. But it was a suggestion that was taken to heart. You know, so the next tournament I got to see and watch, I missed the one that Steno did well down in Hermosa Beach. I missed that one because I didn't have a partner. And it was at Muscle Beach, and they were playing, and I'm playing with Connie. Now, she might have been 44 or 45 at this stage. And it's not that she was broken down. She had the consistency of one in a row. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she shot her powder. I know what you mean.
She had already spent her powder. Anyway, there's a young girl there. I think she's 10 or 11 years old. And she was, Jack Jensen was playing. This girl who was, I went like this, "God, that girl is really good. How old is she?" And somebody said, "I think she's 10 or 11. I said, "You're kidding. She's great. She never throws a ball." I was quick to judge some of the skills that the women had. They're all good hand skills. But John had threw an unusual amount of balls because she was playing with cells. They kind of, you know, either coughed or blinked at the wrong time when these throws were coming up, and nobody ever said a word. And if she did get a call, she'd look at Gene, and Gene would look at the whoever was roughing. But I said to myself, okay, Janet's got some faults. I started to look for the similarities as far as good playing, but I also looked for the things that were different. And what made the girl or that co-ed team so good was they complemented each other. And Nancy Cohen, even though she was a young girl at that time, was one of the better ones coming up. And Kathy Gregory was good. But the older ones, I played with the older Connie Keller. And who knows, she might have been 53. I said 43, maybe I'm being too nice.
Yeah, the older we get, we can't judge ages. I'm with you.
And, you know, it was one of those things. But I enjoyed playing mixed doubles, not because of, the enjoyment was I got to beat players that were better, some of the better men, because I could exploit the weaknesses of the girls. And the skills got better. Oh, I think Connie and I got about a fourth place, maybe fifth, and not even close. But I did see this one little girl, wrinkle-free body, that could run under the net without touching it and keep the ball off the ground. You know, so when I found out where she played at Muscle Beach, I went, "Oh, my God." And then when I saw the tournament at Muscle Beach, I said, "Oh, my God, I got to ask that girl to see if she'd like to play." And that was the start for Eileen and I. But getting back to Edie Conrad and Patty Steer. Patty would make swimming trunks, and she was one of the few that made swimming trunks, not only for the partner, but for other players.
Yeah, I know Shamalis wore them, and Von Hagen wore them in the 70s.
And, just a nice family. Edie, it was at the end of her playing time. When her son was graduating and her daughter was graduating from high school, Bobby graduated from Westchester High School and he went to Santa Monica College. And I got to play with him in 1964. And he played football there and he played volleyball. And he was later to go on to Stanford and become a terrific end in Stanford. And the difference was when he probably graduated, if he had a chance to make a choice, pro footballer or start his own business, restaurant, he chose a restaurant, even after graduating from college. But they were good players there. They had John Adams, that's where Dave was the principal. You had a mixed court there that had a combination of girls coming from West L.A., from very few of them from South Bay. South Bay had their own group down there, and they were all good. And Spike Lawrence was part of that group. You know, a guy called Smith, a big guy that he played with, was part of that group. And they all played men's doubles and mixed. And we didn't know that because we never crossed over the line. We never went south.
Right. It was. It might as well have been Mexico.
No, not that south. South past Playa del Rey. Only to find out that there was a whole plethora of young, good players. Young guys and young women. The sad thing about the volleyball at that time, girls had a hard time getting on the court because guys refused to lower the net.
Yeah, I heard about that. And then oftentimes they would have to play on the high net. Unless Gene was in a good mood, he'd lower it.
No, we were just, you find out how selfish men are, you know?
But not you. But not you or Vogie, of course.
Oh, no, if we had a chance to lower the net, we'd touch it. But those nets weren't ours. Even at Muscle Beach, the nets were put up and everything was 8 feet. There were no girls' courts there. None. Up and down the coast. Well, you played on the guys. You played women or girls on a guy's net. So you can imagine why South Bay, after a while, became very, very good as far as women. Why? Because they had shots. They had cut shots. Nina Grotwing, she was one.
Oh, yeah. Later on, Nina Matthews.
Yeah.
Didn't she coach at Pepperdine later?
Yep. She played with a bunch of girls. I grew up there. And they played at Rosecrans sometimes, but Marine Street, most of the time, Marine, Manhattan Beach. And they all grew up together. Susie Jones, you know, names that.
Was she related to Joel Jones at all? Was she related to Joel Jones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, who's to know about these kids until you got down there?
Right.
You got your nose rubbed in it, or you saw how good they were. Well, you know, Eileen and I weren't running on empty. We just didn't know. And it was fun to go down there, you know, because you go down and you play in somebody else's backyard. And that's where I got to meet the Buzzard and, you know, Marshall, John Gonzalez.
You know, Mitch Malpe, Mac Gage.
Mitch Malpe, yeah, all of them. Bill Warder, all of them were there.
I know.
It just kind of works out that way. But it's, Edie was at the end of her run, going to follow her son throughout his athletic career, all the way through Stanford. And her husband was ready to retire.
Is that Bob Conrad?
Yeah, Bob Conrad was the athlete. Yeah, that's the guy I played with. And Patty Steer, you know, just the result of the fact that Sherry was growing, that's her daughter. She's going to watch them play. And, you know, it's a time in your life when you have to let go of the game. And I got to see those ladies play, and they're all good. And I said, okay, what I need is a wrinkle-free body. Not saying that they had wrinkles. that's about as kind as I could get. I played with a wrinkled body. That was kind of killing me. And, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. We're, in those days, Santa Monica College, L.A. Junior College, out in the valley, would have doubles tournaments, and then also have mixed tournaments. And, you know, you end up playing in these places, and then you get to see that Aqua Valley is a whole new group of young guys that are just jumping out of the gym and beating the hell out of the ball. Not okay, they were good players. They had a tournament up in San Bernardino every year. It was called, Green something, Green Valley Tournament. And they played mixed up there. And guys like Bicycle Bill Kendall, he had the Animal, he had Hans. I mean, these are just names. Buck that played for Pepperdine. They'd all go up there and play.
Craig Buck?
Yeah, Craig Buck.
Oh, I love watching him play in the 88 Olympics. He played at Pepperdine. He was a lord. Yeah. Pat Powers told me he was the best player in the 84 Olympics when they beat Brazil in LA.
He did a tremendous job, you know. And but all these guys were separate. Nobody went to the beach. They played out in the valley. If you go out in the valley, you get your clock stopped. I mean, who the hell are these guys? And remember I told you, I used to drive Bright Metz, because he was captain of our team, the Chart House. I'd come back from a rugby tournament, and I'm late, of course. You know, just half a day's gone by.
And beat up from the feet up. You had a gouged eye from the Mattel toy company guy and the pile on. And
so Bright would say, well, you're not starting. I said, yeah, it's fine. You know, you guys play up this year, and you guys get tired, let me know. A friend of mine was playing, that Boyd Steer, and his group of players. They were diggers, small diggers, and a couple of hitters on the team. Nobody good. They were called the Tovar Tresses. You know what a tress is? It's a hairpiece, right? Okay.
Well, I'm wearing one right now. So, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so they're playing. And I said, you already started. I said, okay. So I'm sitting on the bench, but I'm giving signals to the Tovar Tresses where they should serve. Who's going to get the ball on the block? And next thing, you know, they go into the third game. And Bright goes like this, God, I just watch these guys play. These guys weren't that good. And we're playing like dog shit, right? He's talking to me. I said, yeah. I said, and then he looks up and he catches me and he goes, are you giving him signals? I go, I was scratching me. He goes, no, you're telling him where to serve.
And you weren't hiding it behind a clipboard with your hands. You were straight up, Butch May style.
And I'm very defiant.
Yeah, that's what I like about you.
That's when the Chart House then found out that there's groups of players throughout Los Angeles, throughout the North San Diego County, San Diego, that are absolutely good players, guys and girls. They probably weren't with the right team, but they ended up, everybody played mix and everybody played doubles. You know, so you got, Patty was going away, Edie Conrad was going away, and I was dropping out. But there were other girls taking their place. And Sinjin had a sister, Georgia. Wouldn't have been a player.
Didn't Georgie end up marrying Leighton Laverty or whatever?
Yeah, Laverty.
Yeah, gotcha.
And there were players there that were coming up. You know, who knows? Mara might send his sister that was killed.
And that tragic car accident in Mangus's VW Bug, I think it was, on Dead Man's Curve on Sunset Strip, wasn't it?
Well, maybe that's the same one that Tiger got straightened out. You know, but there's, when you don't pay attention, then that's your fault. But I already knew that, man, there's a whole new group of people coming up, and they're right.
They're right nipping at your, you're nipping at your bowl's balls.
Yeah. But because volleyball was that good, we didn't know that South Bay was beginning to arm themselves. and they were coming. You know, and it was just one of those things.
Yeah, he had Rose Duncan down there and a whole group of people.
Well, they got Duncan was down there. You got Arn Schumann came up from San Diego. I mean, they were just good players. And, you know, you meet these guys. And some, you know, there's a new guy that was being introduced to volleyball, Tom Reed. I think he was 6'5 or 6'6. He's a basketball player. He ended up on the national team. But there were a lot of players that were being introduced. The thing that I that they don't understand is Ernie and Rudy made the trek west to not only enhance a game that they enjoyed, a lifestyle. You know, there's nothing wrong with the New Yorkers. But California has just a different, it just has a different way of giving you a good life.
Yeah, and I heard particularly back then everything was beautiful and it wasn't crowded and it was the best place to live in the world at that time.
Yes. Yep. Well, then you get the two older women, or three older women dropped off. That was Connie and Patty and Edie. The two that stayed together the longest was Stena Brunicardi and Jean. You know, and Stena just, he had a drive. He just wanted to be a good mix player. And Stena was a good player, but he drove you nuts.
And he wasn't.
He'd ask you to score. Wait, I'm not ready. Especially after you ace it. I'm not ready. And you'd have to serve the ball over again. Now, this is what happened with Steno and Gene, Eileen, and myself. We just got through winning, I think, three games in a row. And Steno said one more, and it was already dark. And we ended up losing. Eileen and I lost. We lost 15-13. And it's the old thing. Steno told everybody that I beat Butch. Okay. I got to admit, I might have played him 150 times, and I lost once. And Steno says it only takes one loss. So I never asked him to count how many times I had.
It's your one in 150, buddy.
No, it's just a number.
I get it, though. For him, that was like winning the Manhattan Beach Open at that point in time.
It was winning every time he saw me. You know, and it's you probably don't want to play in front of people anymore. It was any way to go. It was okay. But also coming up were players that were really good. They never got their chance. Pete Arancher. Pete Arancher was a basketball player. But he was also a good mix player. He had the demeanor to be a good player. He and my wife beat Eileen and I in Encinitas.
That must have been a interesting night at home.
I know. It was really nice. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Let me make you your favorite dinner, Butch. What kind of dog food do you want?
My favorite dinner, and it was always good, was peanut butter, jelly, and a quart of milk. Like I said, you never saw these pockets of young players coming up because you're too busy either talking about yourself or you're worried about where you are on this list. Nobody saw the list coming. Now, the list had a substantial amount of players, a few from San Diego, but the rest of them from South Bay.
Yeah.
And when they came up and they started the ruse with the Santa Monica group.
That started the North Bay, South Bay, and San Diego rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that kept our group in check was Randy Sinj. You had Sinj's brother.
Andrew.
I mean, there were so many good players that were playing at State Beach that time. You know, they were legitimate players.
Mark Eller, the Bronze Bomber.
They were good. Pat Powers living up in Malibu. Most of us playing at Muscle Beach. But when he broke into it, he was awesome. You know, he was a player that he would play with an old Russian guy called Vitaly Vito. and that beat up on everybody at Muscle Beach. And I used to play with Vito and beat up on everybody. And then when Pat was there, Vito all of a sudden forget about the bodies that were beginning to develop wrinkles. So that was me. And he'd run and then wait for Pat Powers to come up. And he goes, "Oh, Pat, you and me, oh, please, you and me." Like I said, it was coming.
Yeah, the hurricane was coming. You just had to hold the doors down long enough.
Well, if you were so into yourself, you never saw it coming. Okay. Now, Bogey was a good mixed player. You know, Ron Lang was excellent. You know, you look at these guys, they were dynamite. Half the team that that played as Celtic like organized were all good mixed players and indoor players. You know, so, I mean, there were so many. Good name, Dale Crashour. Who ever heard of Dale Crashour? Excellent, you know? And a gentleman. They all ended up playing golf. I never knew how much I liked Southern California until it became part of my lifestyle. And it was beach every day. Even though I go to MGM. I go to MGM and I got some being told, "Hey, just leave it outside. I'm on the phone. Thank you very much."
Is it what is it, Butch? A pizza?
Oh, no, those are head covers for clubs. I got some clubs I paid for, and they didn't have the head covers. You know? But anyway, getting back to, you know, now that the noise has quieted down a little bit. Oh, he's a good dog, you know? Mitch Malpe and his wife, Sue, would come down at tournaments and bring a big wolfhound called Gandalf to the mixed tournament. And they'd bring it down to the tournament, and this dog would easily be up to your hips. And they brought it down for a couple of years till the dog passed, or until I mentioned his wife got a divorce, you know, whatever she did first.
Oh, how shocking how that happens with mixed partners.
Oh, yeah. No, they just... they had a strong following in South Bay, and you don't know how strong the following is until you get there. You look down, you look at the board that's made out, and Cook would lay this thing out. And, okay, Clancy and May, you're up against such and such. And I play the whole Dodd family. Everybody in the Dodd family, including his sister, you know, in mix. At Marine Street, play with Malpe and two of his against two of his sisters, Sandy, and then another sister that's gone now. The mom's sharing that you gotta get it, Mitch. You have to call that that hit on Butch. He was way over the net. I wouldn't even close. And he said, "Mom, I can't call him." Says, "Well, did he call something? You don't want him to win again."
Did she do it in a Grover voice from Sesame Street?
No, it just Mrs. Malpe. I think every Tuesday cooked fried chicken at her house, and the only one invited from the whole group that I know of was John Gonzalez.
Oh yeah, they had that awesome finish in the 70 Manhattan Beach Open. Johnny Gonzalez was a talented lefty, and I heard they could dig people off the court.
Oh, they weren't afraid of the ball. They'd get out of the ball. But the idea was. We never saw them coming, and they are solid. You know, they're solid in my head, all good players.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, where else can you just ride your skateboard, take your surfboard down on the beach, straight down, and surf, play volleyball? What a life.
Yeah, and then eat at Perry's Pizza, like the Buzzard, Buzz Sports.
Yeah. Yeah, just Perry started putting up their stands, and not a bad place to get your whatever you needed to give you extra energy was the Perry's Pizza. And it was legitimate good pizza.
Oh, didn't they have the volleyball cokes there? I think Jeff Jordan told me that he served up the volleyball cokes, and they'd go buy volleyball or get volleyball cokes for free, and then they'd pour a bunch of rum or whatever else they wanted into it and watch the tournament.
You know, Jeff Jordan was one of many of the South Bay people that played and got better. You had a few players coming out of Playa del Rey, but not as many as South Bay. South Bay was solid from Rosecrans all the way to Hermosa. And Hermosa had their own group. South Bay, there was lots of good playing. Girls and guys. Young girls coming up. Rose Duncan, Rose Weybridge, the girls that Nina played with. And she had a few, very few coming from Corona Del Mar. You know, you just didn't claim one. The spot that you played in. But yet you had the Sorellis, Rocky and Cammy Sorelli.
Oh, gosh. And then Rocky, remember when he, and was it Tom Wade that upset yes. Dane and Andy in the first yep. round in the World Championships? Yep. Pretty impressive.
But like I said, you never, you're so busy looking at your own list of how good you are that you don't see the other ones coming. And they were coming. But you hit Gene Brunicardi kind of hung in with that. Georgie and her daughter kind of played in her mom's shadow. You know, she wasn't a bad player. There was a tournament that Lang played with Gene, and they drew Eileen and I in the second round. Eileen and I beat Gene and Ronnie, and so. Gene just drops out of the tournament. She goes, I'm done. So Mike Cook had an opening on the other side. Lang played with Georgine. Next thing I hear, after we beat him, 15 minutes later, okay, but you're up again. So we're playing Lang and Bruno Cardi. We just played Lang and Bruno Cardi. Oh, no, this is Georgine.
How does that happen?
The neat part about it was Mike has a demeanor of just settling any differences that you might have by being calm, cool, and collected. He just
and that's why he had so much success at MiraCosta with all those amazing championship teams and players he's had over the decades.
Well, yeah, so he just said, look, you told me this once before, so what's that? You have to play everybody anyway. Anyway, yes, I did. So we went on and played. And in the first game, midway through the first game, I think we're up by maybe 5 or 6 points to nothing. Because they were just getting settling in. And it was an 11-point game. Two out of three 11 points. And I served down the line. And Ronnie was playing the left side, and I served the ball, and the thing broke, landed right on the line. So that's it was our eighth point. And Ronnie said, "If you can do that again, I'll give it to you." And never moved. I served the ball hit almost on the same mark. The registration, if you were to match marks, was a little off. And if you can do it again. I give you the point. I served it again. And he said, if you can do it again.
Four times.
And then he goes, hey, where are you going? I said, this game. He goes, what do you mean? I said, scored 11-0.
Did you say, yeah, you said 8-0 next.
No, I didn't say that. He goes, that's 11? 13 was acknowledging, yep, that was 11. He goes, I've never lost an 11-0 game ever. In my head, I just said, well, I can tell you the same thing I told Crazy John Smith. Congratulations, it's the first time, but I did say it.
I wouldn't want to mess with Lang.
So we ended up beating Lang, and then we went on from there. But the idea was Ronnie was so adamant that somebody couldn't do it again. And of course, like anything else, coaches will tell you, you throw a fastball, it's already in your head. You know, just do the same windup, it's going to end up in the same place. So he gave me a chance to serve four balls. I served all four.
Well, Lang should be able to relate to that because Rundle told me a story when he and maybe Snyder or whoever he was practicing with at Sereno against Lang one day. Lang hit a ball down the line and bounced it exactly on the line, precisely. And he goes, I don't believe you can do that again. And he did it like two more times. And he goes, okay, you win. That was just how good Lang was.
Well, that's how good all the players were. All the good players could. How wide's the volleyball? 8.5 inches? Something like that? If you gave them 9 inches, of course, in those days they didn't have antennas. You gave them, even if you blocked, you gave them a line, they killed it. They crushed it. You know, the players today can do the same thing. They actually do the same thing. Only thing, the contact is at a higher point than what we do. But we did okay. All of us did okay.
So getting back to the women's side of stuff, what made Jean Brunicardi earn her nickname as the Gazelle?
You know, I used to say she could run across the sand without leaving a footprint. She's very fast. You know? And, you know, it took me a long time to figure Jean out. Not as a person, but as a player. She'd run across the sand, and she'd get the ball up for Steno, or whoever she was playing with, mostly Steno. And they'd put the ball there. I think you'd cut it, shoot it over your head, or hit it right through your hands. So Jean was a hard person for me. It was hard to read. And she'd swing at a ball, and she'd mishit a ball, and her arm would go one way, and the ball would go the other. And I can't believe that. Only to find out if I held up a nanosecond later, I could go after her. Because she didn't know where she was hitting. Because Eileen or Barb and I would have to listen to Steno talking to Jean. Gina, you need to keep the ball in. But she tried to keep it in, it was an easier ball to get. Gina, try to put it away. And Gina, I want that set closer. Gina, set it higher, right? Keep it off the net. You heard all these excuses, but these are the excuses that guys would give the girls. You know, I told you the famous line that Steno used that I use kiddingly was, if we win, it's because of us. If we lose, it's because of you. No. Not a fair assessment. No,
not in hindsight, but that was how it was done back then.
But, you know, years later, there were young players coming up. Butch Mialy, Butch Martin, who played tennis and volleyball. He's a good next player. Misty won the Marine Street Open with a guy called J.P. Calderon. 22 years after I won my last...
How old was she?
Missy was just 22. And she won the Marine Street Open. Lila Grant served a jump serve to J.P. Calderon. Missy was up at the net. And balls were coming off his chest and his arms. And he wasn't playing. But Missy said, you want me to take those? So J.P. and Missy's... Switch. Missy went to the left. JP was on the right. And he just burns the ball cross court. Missy passes it. JP sets it, and Missy puts it down on the men's net. Just rips it.
Brent Froehoff?
Yeah, Brent Froehoff is sitting in the audience. And after Missy put that ball down, he turns and he yells to JP, "We know who's got the balls on this team."
Wasn't Brent's dad the illustrious Doug Froehoff, who played with Spike and was a good buddy with Spike as a kid growing up in high school, and then must be rough. He's in the same boat as you. He's got two kids in the Hall of Fame, one in the Surfing Hall of Fame with Chris Froehoff and one with Brent. No wonder Doug, his retirement is pure gold. He seems like a really nice guy, too.
Oh, yeah. But that was young. After that, I already knew that Missy was going to win her first mixed tournament with JP. JP was a male model for the Ford agency. Just he's still buff, you know. And he was Misty's coach at Long Beach State. One of the coaches, assistant coaches.
With Brian?
Yes, with Brian. But you could tell at that time, he had Cleary. He was a good mixed player. He could play anything. You know, he's from South Bay. And all these girls that you never even heard of, because we don't pay attention. Only later to know that they're all becoming good, and not only good, but better. I played, Chris Marlowe was playing with Kathy Gregory.
Geez. They were like two mimes on the court, I'm sure, and they never talked.
Absolutely. It's fun to reflect back.
Now. Oh, gosh, I would have paid money to hear the dialogue between those two.
Between the two was, Chris never let Kathy have the last word.
And that's tough to do.
And she'd still get the last word out. Anyway, they're playing, and we just got through meeting guest mates. I mean, not guest mates, but anyway, he's just a good hard hitter.
Tim Spees?
Tim Spees. So we got through playing Tim, and we left some long faces there. And we got to play Kathy Gregory and Marlo. So we're coming up. It's about 5:30 or 6 now. Marlo says, let's take a long break. And, of course, Mike feels like this. Okay, 20 minutes. Well, 20 minutes, you can't find Marlo. He says, where is he? And Kathy says, well, he's up there. Maybe he's in the bathroom.
He was working on his lines for that soap op he worked on.
Well, this is what Marlo told Kathy. Which is so old, he can't see when he gets dark. So they delayed. We ended up playing, and then we're going down, and the same thing happened. The crowd had to move in so they could verify that the ball was in or out. And some people had lighters, other people were looking to see how close it was. And Chris was like this. I'm going to become a toilet tongue. In other words, he's about ready to let off with lots of expletives. I should never have done that. Kathy said, I thought you said he can't see in the dark. Well, that's what I thought. We ended up beating him. Kathy and Chris were at odds with each other. In other words, they didn't even shake hands. Kathy's got her hands up there. She's slapping her side. And Chris is going like that. I just can't believe it was a bad call on my part. And he stretched out Kathy how that decision kind of killed him. Because we had long matches. Marlo and Kathy, I think, were playing Tim Hovland in this part. And they had to win that. Or maybe I am. But I just remember beating him. And Eileen and I looked at each other and we enjoyed their comments against each other. You should have got that ball. Well, you said he couldn't see. Well, tell me if it's out. I can't see it. You want me to call it out?
Gosh, could you imagine Marlo and Kathy Gregory playing together in the commentary? It's like Hooper and OB.
Exactly.
Except a little more articulate.
Yeah. That was awesome. That's the stuff that happens.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that happened to us.
I heard Spees could lay the wood to the ball as a lefty. You didn't want to get in front of one of his hits. He could tattoo you.
Spees went up and got a little help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll leave it right there. Prank caller. I feel like the guy in...
And according to people, he's up there taking a shower. He came down. He's dry as the arid desert. And we didn't say a word. We just knew that there's some stuff that
there might have been a little Colombian marching powder in the background.
Well, so Eileen says, "You want me to go and dig them?" I said, "I'm not even going to go dig them." There was absolutely thunder. Oh! So I said, "Another 20 minutes, and he's gonna be out of thunder." It was about 20 minutes midway through the second game. And the score was, I think, maybe 5-3, whatever it was. And then we marched, won the second one, killed them in the third. There's no more Thunder.
Thunder down under.
Yeah, and we Elena and I played quite a few teams like that. You know, I'd go in the local bathroom and go, sounds like everybody's got a cold.
You know, is there a vacuum in here?
Everybody's got the sniffles. So I started laughing. I mean, oh my God. But it's, you know, that was the sign of the times.
Yeah.
I make fun of it because I get to laugh. But, you know, I used to say, hey, it's costing you guys $200 or $300.
And you're not, and you're only going to get a, if you win, you're only going to get a styrofoam cooler. Yeah. Well, there's a $200 styrofoam cooler.
Oh, a towel was like that. You go in the bathroom and it's like, I see eight pairs of feet. I mean, four pairs of feet there. And they're all surrounded in the toilet. I go, man, these guys got a lot of colds.
Yeah, and it wasn't like State Beach with Salminio, you know what I mean?
No, it's just, it was one of those things. I told Eileen, don't worry about the first one. Let's see where it goes.
Let them blow their powder.
Well, you know, when you're playing the team and they're just killing the ball, a lot of times they can't serve in. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. I don't even need to call Raffaro to find out what you mean.
We would look at each other and just kind of wag our heads. But I played with another girl there called Marine Street. Laura Gallup was in nursing school.
Okay.
And she was a girlfriend of a soon-to-be doctor, Dr. Larry Heron. It was Larry Heron at that time. And Larry was a good player from Muscle Beach. And he says, Eileen was in Ireland. So he said, would you play with my girlfriend? And we ended up 2 years in a row. We won and then backed it up the following year and won again. And then when Eileen came back, then we hooked the same team up again. You know, but it's, there were a lot of good teams at that time. You had a lot of them. Bobby Hurwitz was a good player.
Bob Hurwitz. He's like an incredibly successful real estate agent now. He sent me one of his shirts, and I got a buddy named Brett Lawyer that works in the industry for Hilton and Highland, and Brett's worked with him, and they sell multi-million-dollar houses, and they both have the utmost respect for one another. So Hurwitz is... transition from being a talented player who could jump out of the sand to some amazing stuff off the court. I give that guy credit. He's kicking ass and taking names now.
Yeah, you know, there's so, you know, looking back, maybe I didn't draw the right partners for some of the open tournaments or whatever, but if they played in a mixed tournament, I always knew that I kind of held an advantage. You know, everybody says, why would you say you're older?
Well, it was because of the hot dog on a stick lemonade with whatever was in it. Come on, Butch.
Yeah, that's separate. Take the enamel off your teeth. You know, we held court because Eileen and I played mostly against guys. We never turned out any mixed team that played against us. It was can't think of her last name out, but Patty played down there. Rick the Rat, was he and Mike were killed in an auto accident. And you know, she was a good player. They were good players at our beach, but somehow they never walked away from the nest to play somewhere else. You know. We've always been blessed because we elected it. I went down to San Diego twice and never even made the finals. You know, I got second once. And I think a second and third. Rudy beat us down there.
Was Stepanoff running the tournament?
Yeah. it was a good tournament.
And they had a memorial for him yesterday, which I thought was amazing. Mike Storm and Norman made it down there. The amazing athlete Bob Mendoza, and who knows, Alan Siegel probably, and just a good crew of people. Even though I don't know if Chester or Steve B. Goss are still with us, but they had some good people down there and talented players. Nate Parrish is no longer with us, but I'm sure he was there in spirit and drank all the liquor.
Oh, we just, it was a sign of the times. You enjoy playing up and down this coast.
Yeah.
You even forget about people playing inland, whether it's in New Mexico or up in the Oregon, playing up in Oregon and Washington. There's good players all over. You find players, Misty giving clinics and had the opportunity to, she was still playing with Carrie, had the opportunity to play against two of the biggest tournaments I've ever seen in my life. One was a Wapaka boat, 120 courts, and the other one was Potsdam, in Pennsylvania. You know, these tournaments are so big. There's 200 courts, and then you play in. The better you do, the closer you get to the main court, which is center court. And it's just amazing. Good players have never go somewhere else.
Yep.
You got some of our players here. Could even up to Colorado with the or Hawaii with a dinosaur tournament. I've been in Colorado and Vail and Aspen. Two good tournaments.
Yeah, that Aspen tournament's coming up this weekend with the mother load.
Yeah, the mother load. Yeah. And you get there, the volleyball playing's good. You know, maybe they may not, if you're quick to judge, you may say, oh, it's a level below the ATP. No, it's every bit as, when the level is the same.
Plus they have all the different age groups with players that play. You have the Open, and you got that Skylar Del Sol guy who's super talented. And then you got the guys that are playing in their certain age groups. I sent David Smith, who I always liked a lot, San Diego State guy, and Dana Camacho some clothes, Gods to Ghost attire to wear in the, I think, I'm not sure it's the 45 age group to play this coming weekend. So it's neat, you know, and you're playing against some people that love the sport. It's cool.
Even when Camacho played in Potsdam, he was one of the people to watch. Didn't win it. Not even close. You know, he gets pissed off at his partner, drinks too much, smokes too much, whatever it is. I always felt that if you go into somebody else's backyard, arm yourself. You don't take a knife to a gunfight. Because when you get there, they find out who's there. They put a target on your back.
Yep.
You know, here in Huntington Beach, at a chiropractor, give $100 bounties if they could beat me and my wife. And two guys that, one of them was Bushmark, the other was like a Sorrell, they lost to both of them. You know? And as soon as that last part went down, it came out, peeled off a Benjamin.
Yeah, and then also peel off the champagne in the bucket. And the label's gone. We switched it too many times.
Ernie and I,
that was an epic story.
It's been nice to see over the three or four decades that I've played, maybe five, the four of them, to see the transition and to watch volleyball that we always dreamed that we would watch.
And how much it's progressed?
But not only nationally, Lewis, Brian Lewis, said when we were in an international tournament, FIVB.
Are you talking about senior or junior? Who was
junior?
Yep, absolute junior. Lord.
Yeah, Louis said You can't even pronounce their names, and they're beating you.
Yeah. And, it's not just a West Coast sport between Santa Cruz and San Diego anymore.
No, you just you saw that.
It's very humbling. Hands.
Well, you look at Qatar, but Switzerland had good teams. Norway now has got the best.
Oh, that Moe and Sorum are amazing, and I really like that Jan Kvalheim. I did an interview with him, and he's such a nice, humble guy. Even though he looks like Dolph Lundgren, aka the guy from Rocky IV, Ivan Drago, without the muscles, but he's such a nice, down-to-earth guy. And then Bjorn Masai, they laid the groundwork over there for, you know, the Moe and Sorum. That's a really neat accomplishment for what they accomplished. They're awesome. Who's the best girls player you see now on the beach?
Best girl player on the beach?
Yep, internationally.
From the United States, I'd say the best and probably the smartest player is a little defensive player from LSU. No, the two best players that I think are what they have, Sponsel and what's her name, Ness?
Yeah, you got me. I don't follow it as much as I should.
She thinks everything and sets everything. She does everything well. You know, she might be a challenge, but she's a legitimate player. Sponsel and her are legitimate players. The reason why I don't say Clay is Clay's can't do all the things.
Yeah, she tanked in the Olympics with not trusting her partner.
You know, it's not a matter of tanking. It's preparing yourself so that you've already played games. You know, Miss and Carrie were good. Carrie wants to be the best player that ever played. They're saying that April Ross is the best player because she got a gold, a silver, and a bronze. Well, a gold, silver, and bronze, that's good. Get three golds. And then
tell me right, exactly.
You know, and I'm not knocking. I like April. I like the way she plays. I like the way she supports her teammate. Because Alex Kleiman became a better blocker, it made it easier for April. But the two best players out there were the two defensive players for me. Why? Because they could play with anybody. If the girl from LSU played with Alex Kleiman, they'd win. If Sponsel played with Kleiman, they'd win. And you can't say that about putting Clay's in there. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Just, of course, I look for all the defensive things, but I look to see how a defensive player keeps player up front in the game. Now, the player up front may not block a ball, but then it's their responsibility to put up as many balls as they can. They both have shots, and the one from LSU has more shots, but she's just as good as Sponsel. So, when it comes to the tall girls, no. The tall girls came off the net and were a little bit better. I'd throw them in the, I'd throw them a bone, saying that they were that good. You know, Alex Kleiman has improved 100%.
That was Taryn Clough and Kristen Nuss or something, right?
Yes, Kristen. Yeah.
Is it Kristen Nuss?
Nuss, N-U-S-S.
Okay, she's the one from LSU that you thought was amazing.
Yeah. So when you ask about those two players, those are the ones. Because they pass everything. They dig with more control than anything else. They put balls away off the hands, doing all those things.
All the small things that make you a winner.
Well, it's like I said, if you were to mix the group, Sponsel and us would both win with Alex Kleiman. That's a good deal.
Yeah. Now,
they might be undersized. That means that, just like Larissa, you had to play a little bit harder. A 44-year-old lady, she's doing pretty good. A mom doing well.
Well, I'm sure Kristen Nuss will appreciate hearing this from Butch May, who's the
a stud volleyball player and the father of arguably the best women's beach volleyball player ever, Misty May. So hopefully that doesn't go to her head. I might cut this part out just so she works harder.
Well, it'd be good if you did. It'd be better if you did.
Nah. Well, otherwise it might motivate her harder, like Von Hagen, and be like, okay, I'm on the cuspis to be one of the best if I keep doing what I'm doing.
Because they can do it all.
They're shorter, too, and they're not marginalized. They played bigger than they were.
No, you know, nobody, okay, who'd have thought Crab and Gibb were going to fade? Okay, well, Gibb's at the end of his time on the court, and he knows it. Chicago's the last tournament, and that's fine. But Trevor played great for what Trevor could do. But the guy that was outstanding was Triborn was unbelievable. You know, he does it at 6'5". He's a big 6'5". And he plays now with reckless abandon. He's a thinker on the court, which is good. And that's what Nuss and Spossel do. And this is just my opinion. You know, I've had my opinions get kicked to the curb many a time. But
well, look,
if you mix the other half
and see how they would do, Spossel, who's a great ball control player, and Nuss would embarrass some of the players, the bigger players, if they played them, is what you're saying.
No, not to get. I'm saying that if you mix it with a tall player, it was like Alex Kleinman, and Nuss played with Kleinman, or Spossel played with Kleinman, they would win.
All right, well, maybe Spossel will make a move.
Yeah, who knows? You know, you get you can. There's some young girls coming up, probably from college, tall blockers that didn't make the national team. It might be if they could beef up their skills, not only at the net but off the net, it'd be okay. You know, it's just it was mentioned to me before the Manhattan tournament. Hey, guess who's playing with Nick? I go, who? And then, boy, I don't know if you're going to do well. You could be a national player. I believe it, there's five other guys helping to clean up your stuff.
Right. Are you talking about DeFalco?
Yeah, DeFalco. Yeah. And it's probably tough for Nick to go like, geez, we got our asses handed to us. No?
We got to
get more out of DeFalco. Okay, now, 2 years ago when Reed and Trevor won, what did they do? They both got sandy. You know, Reed became a better player. And having his name end up on the Manhattan Beach Pier.
That's pretty impressive.
You know, and having Trevor twice in a row, classic.
Yeah, and I heard he was talking smack before the tournament, and he delivered, and the sport needs more of that. So I give him credit for winning that tournament. He delivered. He talked, and then he came through. Right. Him and Tri, you know. And I think Tri probably got a lot of confidence from the Olympics. It's like, hey, man, I can play against the best players in the world. I'm going to win the AVP Open now. And I heard he played out of his mind at that Manhattan Beach Open. I got to give him credit. I didn't see it, but I heard he was making some surreal plays. So you got to give credit where credit's due.
He played according to Tri. That's the way he plays. Okay. But when you aren't matched with the person that you could win with, things happen. You know, so if you stay long enough, like Trevor Tri haven't had the most success in their pairing, but they stay together and they get to know each other's weaknesses. Now, the other thing, you know, you end up, why are other players falling to the side? there were some great matches here, good matches. They could have gone that either way.
Guys like Billy Allen played super well in that.
Yeah, Billy had a great tournament.
Yeah, I'm impressed by that guy. He's pretty talented and a fun player to watch and respects the game.
Yeah, he's just he's a good example of how he's supposed to be playing.
Yep.
And he's not the biggest guy there. But then we forget about some wrinkle bodies. You got John Hyde.
Oh, him and Ricardo Santos. That they had a good run.
And they had a good run, and it was fun. And Ricardo's trying to get more out of John. John's only got so much gas in that tank.
Well, just call it like you do. He spent his powder, Butch. But hey, he's the same age as me, and he was a stud at San Diego State. And the fact that he's still playing at that level blows me away.
And it was fun for both of them. They both won $3,000 for playing.
I mean, I think they spent it all at Shellback that night, but I'm not certain on that. Don't quote me. I know I would have.
An ice bath or something, whatever it is. And it was fun watching.
Like Val Kilmer in Top Gun. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I got to refer to movies that you can relate to, which only limits us to, like, Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry movies.
Oh, there was some awesome play. And I hope Chicago benefits from this last weekend that we had.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they will. Chicago lights up and stuff like this.
Yeah, it's fun going down there. It's a neat beach.
Good food. It's a good eating challenge.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised you're not out here for it. I think I might go meet Adam Johnson down there on Friday. He'll be coaching a team playing in the qualifier, and maybe I'll take him to like a hot dog stand where it cost me like $15 for the whole dinner.
Yeah, and they got good hot dogs.
And I'll tell him it's all on Butch May's expense account.
Tell him put on bogeys.
Yeah. You win. All right.
I said hi.
So, all right. This is good stuff, Butch. We'll cut it off here. And
the good players are coming.
Yep, they are. Especially on the women's side.
Yep. Yep. I think April and Alex will be the marquee players until somebody can physically beat him.
Yeah, well, I give Kleinman a lot of credit. Like Misty told her before the match, I heard before the Dane Blanton mentioned how before the gold medal match, told them, hey, be prepared for anything. And she was right because they served Kleinman to throw him off course because April was playing so well. And Kleinman delivered. She, in the brightest spotlight, she played as well as she could have. And I give her credit. She didn't wilt.
Well, you can't just serve a flat serve to either one of the girls. For me, you have to back him up and make the ball loop. Make him, if the exchanges are even, right?
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one to give you 1 point advantage. And then you got to be steady enough to do that over and over and over again. Now, you can't both be serving like that. You still have to look like you're serving the server short one. You know, there's a Behar played for Brazil. And she would practice serving a ball so that it would hit the top of the net and drop in.
Thanks, Sun Jin.
That would be a practice serve. You can practice that. You understand?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You have to be that good and that keen with your contact to make it hit off the net. Why? Because most people will quit on the first one. That's the point. And if you jam two or three of those in there, so what if you only win by 2 or 3 points? It's a win. It's a W. But those things are practice.
You have to be good at it. Dana Camacho could do that pretty well.
Dana Camacho could do it until he got distracted. Dana, when he played with a guy from San Diego years ago, I watched him in Fort Lauderdale. If Dana could pass the court and have the tall guy not touch a ball, he would have been better off.
Like Dana playing the onesie or whatever they call it, volleys or something that they have it called now.
Oh, volleys?
Yeah.
You know, you have to, you can't relax in this game. You're like a mole and his partner, they're dynamite.
Yes, that Sora, man, I was impressed by him. He'd look at the court, and then he had such a quick arm swing that he'd crush an angle every time.
Oh, yeah.
And it would just, he you know, I didn't believe Jan Kvalheim. I should have, a.k.a. Dolph Lundgren and Ivan Drago. But he was like, these guys are that good. Just trust me and watch. And I think I'm going to probably have to buy Jan Kvalheim dinner for the rest of my life because he was spot on. And those guys paved the way for them.
Well, they open up the doors. They're going to make your players practice differently.
Yep. And they were that good.
You're not going to be an Anders and Mold by serving easy. You have to do the same thing that Qatar does.
Oh, gosh, it was so fun to watch those guys. They just pounded balls. They're so dynamic of athletes. I watched one of their matches against Dalhauser and Lucena, and Von Hagen was like, these guys are really good. It was really fun to listen to.
And they're all coming. You know, volleyball just gets better.
Yep.
So, Scott, you go out and have a good night.
All right, bud. We'll talk soon. Thanks for the time tonight, Robert Stanley.
Oh, yeah. I only use that when I get arrested.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've heard. We'll keep that on the down low. Good night.
Okay.
This wraps up part 8 of our interview with Butch May. Thanks for tuning in for it. Stay tuned for part 9.